B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wade at second. Two down to 2-1. Swung on and popped up. Here comes Devers. Raffy along the line. He's got it. And the Red Sox win 5-4. They beat the Yankees. Win the series. They have clinched the season series. The game of the year.
That is absolutely the game of the year. No brainer. You get no hit for seven innings, then you finally get five hits. You put five hits in a row.
What's the big deal, guys? The Red Sox just waited a while.
Whoa. That's all. I mean, you know, wow. I've never seen anything like that. That game in particular, that's why this will always go down. This was the game of the year.
That was a great game.
That's how it ended yesterday. Matt McCarthy in from Maz. We got Brendan Glashine in the update studio. Final hour of a reentry Monday on a Felger and Maz. It's brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Again, if Maz were here, would Maz still say this is more about the Yankees than it is about the Red Sox, or would he finally come around on this?
No, I think he'd still say it's more about the Yankees than the Red Sox.
Because he's Maz.
That's right.
How about you? How do you feel?
I think it's the Red Sox, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, the Yankees are a factor in this, but 61 wins, 32 comeback victories this year for the Red Sox. What more can you say about them? They are resilient. As I said earlier, they are leading the league in it factor. So this is more about the Red Sox, their makeup, their guts, their balls, whatever you have, you know, than the Yankees at this point. I mean, they're doing this every single day. It's not like they're only doing this against the Yankees. They're doing this against everybody else in the league, too. And yes, I do think yesterday was the best win of the year, but it seems like, you know, we'll have another one of these in a week or so because that's just who the Red Sox are. This is their makeup. This is their moxie. And I love it. It's a great product. Now they need to go out and improve the team.
So, I mean, I just don't know how you can't take it seriously, especially since we've seen it so many times in the past with the, you know, worst of first kind of thing. But, you know, get a new manager, get a new GM first year, and they have that spark and they have that thing. It's like, it feels reminiscent of some of these recent years, Matt, where they went all the way. It does.
Yeah, people are drawing a lot of comparisons to 2013. I think the 2013 Red Sox were still more talented than this team, you know, particularly when it comes to the pitching. Lester, Lackey, I don't necessarily know if you have that. But if Chris Sale comes back, and that's a big if, and the reports have been really good on him from the minor league rehab starts, everybody says he looks really good. That's the ace in the hole right there. That's the guy who can change anything. Because if he comes back and looks like some form of Chris Sale, and you go out and you improve this team at the deadline, you add a first baseman, maybe add another pitcher, oh my God, we're cooking with gas here, Mike. We are. You could win the pennant, for all I know.
Okay, it feels like that kind of year. And we've had him now. We've seen it. So if you're not feeling that, I don't know, maybe you're not paying attention. But it definitely has that kind of feel to me. All right, final hour of your phone, 617-779-0985. Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, what you just said, if you're not feeling it, you're not paying attention. Oh, I'm feeling it. I'm digging it. All right? I'm loving it. Everything about that game, after I talked to Matt yesterday afternoon, when they brought Rios in, and I felt like they were just kind of like not wanting to win that game. I'm like, oh, I wasn't digging that move. Next thing you know, boom, 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 five hits, five runs, and the Sox win. I will say the one thing that was fantastic that I heard today is you guys are playing The Sound of Susan Wallman. And when you want to talk about someone being totally defeated and deflated and having no interest in doing the call for the rest of that game, that was her. It was great. And she's like, it's this park. It's when you're in this park, it's every time you're in this park. And Sterling's just like, is there a script? Because I swear to God, if I hadn't seen it before, I wouldn't believe it.
So that's pretty good.
Their back and forth was fantastic. And then you play the total polar opposite with Eck and Remy and Dave O'Brien, where they're like, want to win, win of the year. I've never seen anything like it. It's like total contrast, and that is what makes the Sox-Yankees game so much fun, especially when there's that kind of a comeback, just a drastic change in the score, where the Sox looked dead and buried, and they came back to win that game.
We're getting no hit?
No hit, Mike.
Ridiculous.
What a series, by the way. What a wild series. The fact that you could have been swept in that series, or you could have swept them. It was a great watch this weekend. Thursday night, with the kid who comes in, throws four wild pitches. Friday night, Rodriguez gets hurt in the second inning or leaves with a migraine. You're going to Phillips Valdez and Yaxel Rios. You win that game. Saturday, you feel like you're going to win that one. Your ace is on the mound. He's cruising. Ottavino, who's been good for you this year, comes in, completely loses his mind on the mound, melts down. Sunday, you're getting no hit. You're like, man, they're going to split this series. How is that possible? Felt like they were going to sweep this thing. You come back and win because you get five straight hits after getting no hit, and you put five runs on the board in the ninth inning. I mean, a wild series, and it goes to show you that this is just who they are. And if you're not believing it, you're not buying in, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, Guy's in Boston on the Patriots. Hi, Guy.
Hey, how are you, Michael? Listen, yeah. I don't know about you, but everything they're saying about Mac Jones seems to have been said a year before again, Jason Stidham. And I think you might have been right. I think Brian Hoyer might be their best outlook. And you know what the ironic part about everything is? Tom Brady might be playing longer than Bill Belichick is coaching. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Guy.
Thank you,
it's
Guy.
It's Jared Stidham, not Jason Stidham. Jared,
might as well be Jason.
Your thoughts on Jared Stidham?
How the hell is this guy on PUP? Like, did he get hurt taking a picture for Penelope on Instagram? Like, how did he get hurt?
Did you hear Maz's report last week?
No, I did not. What the hell happened?
He's fine.
He's fine.
They want him out of their hair because they want all the reps going to Mac Jones or Cam Newton, and they don't want him in the way.
Well, I can believe it. Because
so they shut him down.
Why don't you just cut his ass? Yeah. Why don't you cut the guy? What's the point? What's even the point with the facade with this guy? Remember where we were a year ago, Mike, with Stidham?
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots had just wrapped up really what was a year-long campaign to pump him up. Since then, he's gotten hurt in camp, failed to challenge Cam Newton last year, and now he's hurt they just want him out of the hair. My God, what a waste of time. So let that be a lesson to you, a cautionary tale to you, and to you, Mike, too, because you were talking this guy up. I was on after that Detroit Lions preseason
Matt,
game with
I
you.
Take pride. Yep. I believe everything I read.
Sure do. That's right. You believed everything they said about this preseason jag, and you declared him the next big thing. Not you, just kind of the collective.
No, I understand.
You guys hear Zoe today? Zoe thinks he's making the team.
Stidham's making the team?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Why?
Well, I mean,
what's the point?
Well, they haven't gotten rid of him yet. So, I mean, that's maybe they're stashing him because they don't want to get rid of him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
You know what, Mike? We will always have that Lions preseason game. You wore blue and the Lions wore gray. We'll always have it.
Beadle followed up and said, so who's the odd man out? And Zoe said, I don't know. But he said Stidham. He thinks Stidham's going to make the team.
They better not carry four. They carry four quarterbacks. You don't know if Hoyer's the odd man out?
Why does that bother you? I don't care if they care four.
Because they all four, well, I don't know about Mac Jones, because yeah, three of them suck.
Well, again, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't care that they have four of them. What, another guy to cover punts?
I would rather have a guy covering punts than Brian Hoyer being the fourth string quarterback.
Ryan and Billerica, what do you got for us today, buddy?
What's going on, boys? McCarthy, when you told me that they didn't qualify Nick Ritchie, it was like freaking Christmas, okay? Because he is useless, okay? Every time he scores, it just goes off his ass, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, and then on the draft, you know, they didn't do a bad job drafting this year. I would have liked to see him take a defenseman in one of the earlier rounds because our left side blows. Felger, when you said Thursday, our left side defenseman, and I heard John Moore, I wanted to jump off a cliff. I even forgot we had that guy. So we got to adjust the left side because it just freaking blows. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, Ryan. It does blow. Matt Grizzlick, Zboril Vakanainen, and John Moore. That is so, I mean, and I said before, all due respect to Matt Grizzlick, love you, mean it. He should be a third pairing power play specialist.
1,000%. He cannot be up there with McAvoy. He got exposed at the end of that series, Mike. I mean, they wore that unit down. The Islanders did. Grizzlick is not a top pairing guy. I don't even know if he's a top four guy. Again, on a championship caliber team.
Third pairing power play specialist.
Which, good, valuable, good player, all that. He just needs to play the right spot. By the way, if Tom and Quincy has the Mona Lisa of Boston accents, I think Ryan and Billerica may have the Starry Night. It's right up there.
It's true. But the thing about renouncing Nick Ritchie, I'm just curious about that. Like, They don't need the cap space necessarily, do they? They're 21 million. Don't they have 20 million yeah. bucks to spend? So they need, what was he qualified for?
$2 million.
$2-3 million? Do they need that money, or they're just not going to sign the player?
Well, maybe they just realize that they don't have to pay Nick Ritchie $2 million because he freaking sucks, and they can sign him for less than that, because why would anybody want Nick Ritchie?
So there you go. That might be a two. What was the other report that you read me? I think it was probably off the air, and I'm saving it now. Ryan Getzlaf?
Oh, yes. There was a report from Toronto, Maple Leafs radio host. So I don't know, you know, some guy up in Toronto. Blue check mark, though. He did say that the two teams to watch for Ryan Getzlaf, the Predators and the Boston Bruins.
I don't know. I mean, again, if that were 5 years ago, yes. I think he's 35, 36 years old. I was just looking at his numbers in Anaheim. Freaking scary.
Would he be an upgrade over Richie? Over Richie,
I haven't watched a ton of Ryan Getzlaf recently, but how could he be much worse?
It's hard to be much worse. He's got to be better, right? Just by default.
Let's keep an eye on that one. How about Steve in Rhode Island on the Sox and the deadline? Go ahead, Steve.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Steve.
Oh, yeah, hi. I just wanted to talk about the Adam Frazier trade because I was reading some reports about what terrible prospects that, you know, the Pirates got in return. I mean, that's ridiculous if you ask me, but what do you guys think about that?
Okay, Adam Frazier, McTakey, go.
Yeah, so Adam Frazier leads baseball in hits this year. The Pirates gave up their number 5 prospect in the system, an infielder. They have a better system than the Red Sox, so you think, what's the comp in the Red Sox system? Jeter Downs, a guy who last check was hitting like 215 in Worcester or something like that. So that's the type of deal that I'd be considering if I were the Red Sox. You know, again, leads baseball in hits. I don't necessarily know where he plays at this point here. You can figure that out. But I'd be willing to trade a guy like Jeter Downs, who has not impressed since he came into the system, and he can help get you an impact player. Maybe it's not Frazier, but maybe it's somebody of that ilk, somebody with term, too.
You think they should? Do you think they will?
No way. No way. They wouldn't give up Jeter Downs for a guy with a year and a half of control. No way. But they should, because I don't think he's an elite player, an elite prospect or anything. I'm not giving up Tristan Casas, but I'm giving up Jeter Downs in a deal like that, absolutely. But there's no way Chaim Bloom would do that.
More your thoughts on the Red Sox, this Cam Newton story, the NFL stuff from today. Bruins, if you want it. And the Bradley Beal to Boston Celtics trade rumors continue to heat up. We'll give you the very latest right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
The Sports Hub.
To me, if I'm Washington, unless I love James Wiseman, unless I love him, and that's a game changer if I love him. Wiseman, 7, good pick. Not a great pick. 14, and Wiggins, like, unless I love Wiseman, that's not an incredible offer to me if I'm the Wizards. I'm asking for Warriors. You got to give me 2026 unprotected and a swap. And the Warriors, you know, then you could flip, like, what are the other teams going to offer, right? Like, Tyler Hero's value for Miami, I think, is a little lower. They're encumbered with first-round picks. Is Boston going to offer Jaylen Brown? I don't think so. To me, there's not much point in giving up one star for another if you're Boston. So you start to suss out what is the marketplace going to look like. Golden State can reasonably look at it and say, hey, even if you don't love our offer, go get something better.
That's exactly right. And with 1 year left on his deal, Beal has leverage because the team trading for him wants to know that he wants to be there and plans to resign.
Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski on the Bradley Beal thing. Let me ask you this, Stu. Or Glashin, whatever. Glashin, are you a basketball guy?
Very much so.
Okay. Another one of these hoop kids? Hoop heads?
Yeah.
Why trade for Bradley Beal if he's got a year left and becomes a free agent? You just sign him as a free agent. Why don't you just do that? Why would you give up anything? Why don't you just wait?
It's probably the same thing that Danny Ainge and the past Celtics regimes have thought of doing, is just
wait for him to hit free agency and you don't give up anything. And maybe that's at play and this is all just rumor and posturing. But I want to be aggressive. I want to go get a player that I know wants to come here, get him here, and then get him re-signed at super max money.
Plus, I don't think we have to keep in mind to appease Tatum. You got to get the piece in now, Mike, because if you wait, you run the risk. If you suck again, or if you're this playing in the play-in tournament, then Tatum might want out at that point.
Well, and I think the point that we're not hitting on here is, what if he never makes it to free agency? What if he gets traded to Golden State, re-signs there, you never get the crack at the guy?
Good answer. There you go.
That's why you do it.
There you go. All right. But, you know, be that as may, I think even just being in these rumors is positive. It's positive. You wanted to see that from Tatum, that could he be a draw? Would guys wanted to come play here? And Beal was always the obvious guy. So if it didn't happen with Beal, you would think, yeah, it's kind of, you know, they're in trouble. If Tatum can't even, you know, get the sort of action going with his friend, who's he going to get it going with? Well, he got it going with his friend. And I think just the rumor, just the stories, just the headlines is positive enough. And he did get involved with the little shamrock emoji there on the story, you know, again, about Bradley Beal and going somewhere else or going to the Celtics. Tatum liked it with a shamrock, right? Tell me what it was. Sorry, not fumbling all over myself.
My understanding, it was a shamrock.
Okay.
I cannot confirm that. That is not in front of me.
Okay.
But I'm going to play along and say it was a shamrock.
Okay.
Mike.
Something like that. There was some sort of positive emoji reinforcement, which, as we know, is how we all talk now with emojis.
So speak for yourself, Mike.
A positive emoji reinforcement of Bradley Beal to the Celtics. That is, to me, that is significant. That is positive. Even if that's as far as it goes, that was more than I was expecting, I'll tell you that much.
I'm going to start responding to the Felger and Maz email chain in nothing but emojis.
That's it.
And I'll never be welcome on Felger and Maz again.
Felger, do you have a favorite emoji?
No. I don't. I don't do effing
emojis.
I
believe it would be the sausage emoji.
I do like a good sausage emoji. No doubt about it.
I mean, who doesn't?
Right across the kisser. So that's what he did. He gave her the old sausage emoji today, and that's good. That's good for the Celtics. I didn't think it was going to happen, even that much. Tatum, to me, feels like a follower. Not, you know, he feels like a recruitee, not a recruiter. So the fact that he's even done this is more than I was expecting, I'll tell you that much.
But real quick, we don't know how involved or how aggressive he's being in this, because we get the report, oh, well, you know, one of Bradley Beal's preferred destinations would be Boston so he could play with Jason Tatum. Well, is that I would just prefer Boston over Washington, or I would prefer Boston over Washington, Golden State, Miami, Toronto? That's the only place I want to go because Jason Tatum is actively recruiting me here. We don't have the answer to that yet. So, I mean, it might be positive that he says, I want to play with my friend, but how actively is Jason Tatum recruiting him? I don't know if we know the answer.
He got the sausage emoji, tells me something.
Okay. But
the little Celtic emoji tells me something.
Is that going to be enough to keep him away from Golden State and Miami? We'll find out.
Okay, but I'm telling you, is that Bay Area reporter said Boston's the preferred destination.
And I hope that's the case. I hope he's right. It still is a lot to ask for, though, if you're the Celtics, because you're essentially hoping that he forces his way here, that he says, no, I don't want to play in Golden State with Curry and Draymond Green. No, I don't want to go to Miami, play there with that young core. I don't want to go to Toronto. I want to only go to Boston, because it feels like that's the only way they're going to make a trade, because while you and I and maybe even Glasheen would trade Jaylen Brown for him because we understand the importance of getting Beal and Tatum together to lure a third star, I don't think the Celtics feel that way, and I do not think the Celtics would give up Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. No way. They'll play the long game.
Okay, most people think that Jaylen Brown is not an option in this scenario. I think Cedric Maxwell would be one of the few exceptions. He's been sort of big on this the entire offseason. But, you know, just reading around, I don't think there's many people. And you just heard Lowe and Woj do it, too. You know, they say Jaylen Brown would be a non-starter in that.
Yeah.
So,
but he shouldn't be. As much as it would hurt as a Celtics fan to give up a young asset like that, he shouldn't be. They must be aggressive.
And wasn't Max one of those people who said he fears that they're too ball dominant to have both of them on the same team?
Yes, that they're too similar, that there's not enough not of contrast with the way they play, either positionally or, you know, et cetera. They don't complement each other. They don't contrast each other. Yes, he's been big on that the entire time.
A caller made a good point earlier that he did play with Westbrook, who stat stuffs and holds the ball all the time. My only argument back to that would be, well, they're not winning. They haven't won there.
So, I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstood you. Max was saying that about Brown and Tatum, not Tatum and Beal. I think he'd be in on Beal because he. I think even though it's similar though, you know, I mean, I think Jaylen Brown's probably a better defender.
Yeah.
Than Bradley Beal, right?
Yeah, but Beal's a better scorer. It does feel close to a lateral move. I mean, I think Beal's a better player. So I mean, it's maybe calling it a lateral move is a little bit unfair. But it's the type of lateral move that I think they have to make because Beal and Tatum gives you a better chance to not only keep Tatum happy, but also to lure a third star here at some point. It gives you a better chance than Brown and Tatum.
All right, Matt in Wakefield just jumped on this. Let's get your thought on it. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? I just want to say that, you know, I think you guys are misreading Tatum. He's a younger dude. He's a millennial or Gen Z.
Yeah.
He's a killer. Like, watch him. Washington versus Kyrie in that Brooklyn game. The guy is a complete killer. He's a dominating force. He like completely showed Kyrie up in that game. That's all I got to say.
Okay, are we watching the same guy?
Huh? Oh yeah, no. I really liked watching him. He was a killer against Yabusele a couple days ago. Oh wait, no. Yabusele shook his plump ass in your face, and you just took it.
Yeah, he's such a killer. Remember, he had to leave that game in Brooklyn because his nose hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when he went to Kyrie Irving's victory party? It's a real killer right there. What? Huh?
Just the opposite.
No. And that doesn't mean that I don't think Tatum can't become that guy. But look at the difference between a guy like him and Giannis. Look at the difference between him and Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday flew halfway across the world after winning an NBA Finals, and he was the only guy who appeared to give a damn yesterday. Where was Jason Tatum in his effort and his killer mentality?
The thing you're pumping up with Tatum is the one thing he lacks, I'm afraid, or has yet to grow into.
And I'm starting to get worried because keep in mind, Ime Udoka is on that Team USA staff. So is he not in Tatum's ear? And that this is the same guy who's going to coach him here in Boston in October, November.
I like it, Glashine. It's negative. Stanley in Leominster. Go ahead, Stanley.
Hey, guys, this whole Belichick and the quarterback thing, doesn't it seem a little bit like the father who is playing his shortstop?
Yes,
and then he pitches once a week?
Yes.
So what is going on with Thugger? That's your big seller. You made a book on this.
Okay, Stanley, your phone's not good enough, but he says Bill Belichick playing Cam Newton is like a little league father playing his son.
Spot on.
Just the team.
Spot on.
Feel that way.
I was telling Jim Leth before the show you should do the youth coaching sports podcast, share all the stories. No, you just cover the Patriots. There you go, because it's Bill Belichick with his son Cam Newton out there. I've never seen anything like it at that level. Bill's love for Cam Newton. It's mind-boggling to me, Mike. It really is.
And the teammates are now like those angry parents.
Yeah.
Like, they're the parents that like that don't coach. They sit and watch behind with their fold-up chairs, and it's they like, stay to themselves and they go, oh, well, look at Coach Bill playing his kid more than my kid.
Yeah, look at Cam. Look at little kid Cam there. He's coming in. He's going to walk the next eight batters, but he's not going to get taken out.
Multiple per a league source, says Mike Florio. Per a league source, multiple. Current teammates believe Newton simply isn't the guy he once was. So you got Patriots players out there saying Cam Newton sucks. I just think that's
good for them.
They're spot on.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
But that is unusual. That is a striking headline.
Try having a cutting edge take next time, Patriots.
Going into Patriots training camp, which opens up on Wednesday. We got a final segment of your wonderful phone calls and emails after Glashine's update. Don't go anywhere.
But first, we can tell you that Reentry Monday, as always, is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or simply looking for a free checking account, visit ebsb.com. East Boston Savings Bank, in your neighborhood since 1848. Here's Glashine with the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Maz.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz. This doesn't sound good.
No, that can't be a good sign.
We on the air? Okay, I think we're back. I'm going to assume we're back.
Theoretically.
You can blame me.
Obviously, something's not firing back there. Glashine screwed something up for sure.
No, my fault. Something didn't fire.
No, okay. Well, fire it.
Fire the cannons!
Let's hear it.
Well, we go to the bottom of the eighth inning, and Herman, of course, pitching a no-hitter. Verdugo hits a high drive to right field, and it is off the right center field bullpen wall for a double for Verdugo, and that takes care of the no-hitter. This is one thing we know. It sounds like the corniest cliche. There's a base hit. One hop off the left field wall. Scoring is Verdugo. On to second is Renfro with a double. So back-to-back doubles begin the eighth inning. It is 4-1. I can't get the words out of my mouth. The Yankees and everyone around them know no lead is safe. Boy, do we know that. That's not corny. It's not a cliche. It's an absolute truth with the Yanks.
Well, anytime you play in this park, it's never over. I mean, I know the cliche, it's never over till it's over. This is this park for that.
Vasquez, and the pitch is cut on and hit in the air to right field, and it dunks in for a base hit. And the ball is grounded right up the middle for a base hit. So Vasquez stops at second. Cordero gets a single, a grounder right up the middle. And here's the 2-0 to Hernandez. Swung on and line, base hit. Over third, down the left field line, and one hop off the left field wall. Vasquez scores, and we'll have runners at second and third with no one out. Boston, there's no one out. Double, double, single, single, double. And here's the 0-1 to Lewecki, and the pitch is chopped to short. Torres throws to first, and the game is tied at 4.
Amazing.
So Cordero scores. It's almost tough to believe, and you know what? I've seen this movie before. How many times? And there's the 1-0 to Bogarts, and he hits a high fly to right. Allen, near the line, makes the catch, and the throw home is going to be late. It's another good throw by Allen. Hernandez scores, and Boston takes a 5-4 lead. If I hadn't seen it so many times, I would have said, it's unbelievable. No, it's believable. So five runs are in, and it's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's almost, you think, is this, is there a script? I mean, is this, is it really, I mean, think about it.
If there is, we don't like it.
All right, so there we go.
Felker and Mads.
Why don't you hear what it sounded like in New York during that incredible eighth inning for the Red Sox yesterday? Go from being no hit to putting up five runs and winning another game and burying the Yankees further. So you can weigh in on that. You can weigh in on into the basketball or hockey stuff as the free agency begins for both coming up this week. Never mind the MLB trade deadline. So your calls here, as promised, Gary in Worcester on Jason Tatum. Go ahead, Gary.
I am so sick about building around Tatum. Tatum, you want to trade Tatum now because he's so overvalued. Did you watch the Olympics? 9 points, one rebound. That's what he is.
So that's not what he is, Gary. You see him score 50 in the NBA playoffs against Brooklyn?
How about the new coach? What do you talk about? More assists. 50 points is not going to get you more assists. You know what I'm saying?
Gary, I know what you're saying. I hear your frustration. I'm sorry to cut you off. And I do think it's telling that he's not seizing anything there with Team USA. You sort of wanted him to go there and establish or, you know, try and, I don't know, just that competitiveness, which is, I'm one of the best players in the league, and I'm going to show everybody right here, right now.
Yeah, this is the guy who complained about not being all NBA, right? How about make, you know, the all starting five for Team USA at the Olympics? For the love of God. Right. Half the players in the league didn't want to participate, and the other half got COVID.
And he steady goes there, and he feels kind of deferential there. You know, so I think he can show something there, can establish something there, and he's doing sort of just the opposite. And I feel your frustration. Again, I think Tatum's a floater, and he just glides around out there. And your question is heart or competitiveness or all of this? I think it's all fair. I think that's all on the table for him right now. I still don't move on from because of the talent, and you're just kind of stuck with it, yeah. I think, and you know, for better or worse, and hopefully he grows into it. Hopefully he realizes what it takes, prioritizes winning over everything else, and becomes that guy. but I don't move off from him.
You know, that's how it works in the NBA, right? I mean, you trade a superstar player in the NBA, you are never getting dollar for dollar value. It just doesn't happen. So if you're trading Jason Tatum, you're getting worse. You're not getting assets that are as valuable as Jason Tatum. You're right, Mike. You are kind of stuck with it. And you have to hope that he develops that killer mentality. He develops that alpha, whatever you want to call it. It's your best hope. It's your best path to eventually becoming a championship team. It's just not here now. Not saying it won't be there at some point, but it's your best hope.
I rip him. I pick him apart, too, in his game, how he doesn't make others better. But really, to make your point, McCarthy, all is forgiven if he gets Bradley Beal here. Yeah, right? Like, folks will forget that stuff.
Well, I mean,
At least for a while. I won't forget.
To me,
I never forget.
It's an important thing for them.
We know.
Because it feels like it's going the other way. Ned's in Florida on the Bruins. Go ahead, Ned.
Yeah, I think the Bruins should start talking to Ronnie Francis in Seattle about some trades. You know, when Vegas drafted, they actually traded a lot of their guys away to stockpile some draft picks. So, I mean, I think Yanni Gourde would make a great Bruin. I mean, that team is built for the future. The Bruins are a team now. I would start making some deals, pick up some of the guys that they drafted.
Okay. Giordano on defense, is he a left shot or a right shot? What has he got left?
I want to say he's a right shot, Mike, but I could be wrong about that.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I'd like to see him do something for Pete's sake. They have the money. They're dialing it back. I mean, even Cam Neely said, one more run at this thing.
Left shot.
So he's a left. That's exactly what they need. So, like, I mean, I get the sense that Kraken are building around him, or like he's going to be one of their centerpiece guys and not up for trade, but I'd place the call. Why the hell not? We've got Leo in Newton. A couple open lines if you want to grab him here in the last few minutes. 617-779-0985. Go ahead, Leo.
Yeah, first time, long time. I think you guys are crazy about this Brad Beal for Jaylen Brown thing. In this league, you need guys that can match up with, like, the apex players, KD, Kawhi, Giannis, LeBron, next generation, Luka, Zion. Brown's that guy. He's 6'7". He can be an all-NBA defender. Brad Beal's heading into his 30s. He could, like, hurt his knee and be Kemba Walker useless in, like, the next year. So,
Leo, what if Tatum wants him?
You got to stick with Brown.
What if Tatum wants him?
If Tatum wants him, I mean, I don't think you do it because, honestly, Tatum's only 22, and no NBA player wins a championship when they're 22. You got to be 26, 27. So I think you wait. There's a superstar player available every year. You wait and you put your assets in then.
Okay, Tatum's 24, right?
23. Brown's 24.
Okay. Well, either way, he's the same age as Trae Young, and so, like, it's early for him, but I've seen other guys his age that have a little more competitiveness than he does.
Luca's younger, isn't he?
I don't know the exact age. Okay, but be that as it may.
But if the caller's going to make that point, then, all right, Jaylen Brown's young too.
Yeah.
So why do you want to keep Brown then?
Well, let's stop waiting. Stop waiting. That's the thing. In the NBA, you need to seize it. And the Celtics have waited and waited and waited and waited. And here at the very end of this rebuild or whatever this process was, whatever you want to call it, you're left with Brown and Tatum, and that's it.
Again, in this recent postseason tells you everything you need to know. Like, something could happen where you get a break. Something could break your way. So if you're Miami, don't you wish you went out and gave up Tyler Hero? When you look back on it, the Sixers, give up Ben Simmons.
So they could have gotten James Harden if they had just given up Tyler Hero?
I think they could have kept Bam. It would have been Bam, Butler, and James Harden.
I mean, that's crazy.
Pretty good.
Wayne in Grafton. Mm-hmm. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, you know, you got these, guys, Tuukka Hernandez. I mean, they both have, Tuukka had the squirts and Anders has a headache, and I think they should both stay home, lay in the fetal position and hope for the best, because it's sports. Do it up, guys. Peace out.
Okay, Wayne, peace out. He means Eduardo Rodriguez. He's comparing Eduardo Rodriguez to Tuukka Rask. Your thoughts?
There's always something with Rodriguez, which kind of sounds cruel to say in the aftermath of COVID. I mean, obviously the condition he got last year is no joke. So, I mean, you hope that, the migraine has nothing to do with that. But I'm talking about before this, even before COVID. There wasn't a mound on earth this guy didn't fall off of. He had the knee problem. He had this. He had that. It's always something with this guy. And even this year, he has a couple of dandy starts. They've been great, but he really hasn't been good on the whole. He had the dead arm in spring training. It's always something with this guy. He's good. He's talented. You can't count on him.
Always something. Agreed. Soft? Is that what he is?
I don't know if he's soft. I think he's just injury prone, and there you have it. I don't know if that necessarily makes him soft. I know he doesn't have any good balance because he always falls off mounds and hurts his knee.
Steven Fort Lauderdale on the Celts. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Tatum, I think he's been soft for some years. I think he's going to pull a Kyrie Irving, take the money and run. He always has excuses. He's not a natural born killer. The latest is, and I'm sure you guys heard it, when they got over to the Olympics, he complained right away about the travel. The travel did him in. The travel, they're tired from the travel. Well, they just came from the doomy summer in Las Vegas. Couldn't they travel a couple days earlier? So he's never going to change from that. Even if you get lesser pieces, the mental toughness, I think, would make up for that.
Okay, well, we'll see. He doesn't have it now. I would agree with you. He doesn't have it now. But a lot of guys don't have it as young players. So, again, I think you're just kind of stuck with him. You can't trade that kind of talent. Carl's in Everett on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Carl. Carl! His comment line said, Yankees done for the year, ?
Absolutely, 100%. They've been done for a month, to be totally honest, Mike. I buried this team a while ago. They suck. They really do. Their manager's a problem. They're poorly constructed. How do they not have left-handed hitters? The New York Yankees don't have left-handed hitters. What type of world are we living in where the Yankees don't have left-handed hitters? They're done. D-U-N, done.
Jake and Andover on the Bees. Hi, Jake.
Oh, Felger, it's been a very long time. I've wanted to talk to you. Yes, so I swear to God, I've been talking to the night show with the whole Krejci and Rask and the free agency crap, and I'm going to egg Don Sweeney if he brings them back. The easiest way that I disagree with going with the veterans and making another run because Tampa's just going to stomp on us, but if you want to fill three spots, which is second line center, left wing, and a left shot defenseman, Philip Danault, Suter on defense, and then the third guy that's not going to cost you an arm and a leg is going to be someone like Landeskog. But he's going to be the heavy market hitter.
Okay, so wait, how is Landeskog not going to cost you an arm and a leg? He's one of the best players in the league.
He's going to cost you the him and Krejci for the $7 million is probably going to be an even, maybe a little bit more, an even trade-off. The other two guys, I think you could fill in the gap with Rask's salary.
Okay.
Of like $3.5 to $4 million apiece.
Okay, you don't think Danault's going to go for more than that?
I mean, a little bit, but I think that if you get rid of Rask and Krejci and you free up at least that much, you can move around other pieces that you can get rid of on this team without re-signing to get those market guys.
Okay, well, let's see. They're going for it one more year. Taylor Hall's back. They're going to be good. Can Sweeney make them great? They're going to be good.
Yep.
Small G, good. Can they be a true championship contender? I hope they do at least try and spend some dough. But it's got to be on D. Forget Danault. Forget these other guys. It's got to be on D. You mentioned Suter. It feels like he's got too much competition already.
Yeah, he sounds like he's going to get 4 years from somewhere, maybe Dallas. The Bruins are not going to go 4 years.
Okay, final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest price on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Glashine.
Nobody.
So, Glashine, I'm jumping you here.
Okay.
Because I picked a best of, and then I thought of a better best of Squeaky Maz.
Love it.
So, the Squeaky Maz is from a few years ago on the Olympics.
Nice.
There we go.
I looked at the first picture, you know, Whitehead Circle today, then during the Olympics with the stadium there and the horseshoe, and I thought, man, that looks awesome. And then the idea of what it would look like after the Olympics and the sort of the revitalization of Boston. They said, now this right here is what I'm talking about. Right there, right there.
It'll help make us a true international
city. Yep, and I read the comments from Pagliuca and the revised plan and all of it, and I thought, okay, this is where we're going. Nope, see you later. Screw you, go pound sand. I still don't want it here. I give him an A for effort. This is better than the first time around. Absolutely. Much better effort by Boston 2024. I commend you for that. Much better effort. However, no!
Just for the sheer inconvenience factor.
Exactly. Screw you. I don't want the world here. I don't want the world here. No, I'm not xenophobic. I consider myself to be actually rather open-minded. However, it's a small city. I consider Boston to be kind of quaint, intimate. I don't need the rest of the world here. The rest of you can go pound sand. Nice-looking drawings, nice plan. And I'm not joking about that. I have to admit, I was impressed. I thought, now you've got your crap together. Nope. My answer is still nope. I don't want to be an international city. I don't want to be New York. I don't want to be Chicago. I don't want to be L.A. I want to be Boston. I want to stay what we are. I'm content to be what we are. And I don't want the Olympics here for the headache of the 2 weeks or the month, however long it's going to be. Not to mention the construction and everything else that goes along with it. I'm actually talking about the singular event. Nope. My answer is still no. Thank you for your effort. It was a nice idea. And you know what? You really get your crap together this time. But my answer is still no. No! I don't want the world here. No! Nope.
You know, when we're considering, like, take batting averages, Maz batted 1,000 on that one. Can you imagine the Olympics here in 3 years in the post-pandemic world? Can you imagine? What a bullet we dodged here in Boston. My God. You see Tokyo? Oh, no. Oh, no, you don't want this.
All right, McCarthy, what do you got coming up on the baseball hour?
Well, one hell of a series for the Red Sox over the weekend with the best win of the year. So we'll cover that. We'll cover all the action from this past weekend. Buster Olney with a really interesting report on Anthony Rizzo. He thinks the Red Sox are going to get Anthony Rizzo. And excellent, excellent news on Chris Sale coming out of Portland yesterday. Seems like he could be back in a few weeks. Lot to get into, so join us, why don't you?
Okay, if you're on the line to talk baseball, hold on. McCarthy's going to join you here. It's McCarthy and Glasheen with the Baseball Hour. Give him a ring at 617-779-0985. What's the lineup tomorrow there, Stu? I know I'm on. What do we got tomorrow?
I think it might be full program, fully loaded. I'm not in tomorrow.
Looks like it's a full show. Felger, Maz, Big Jim.
Fully loaded program. Okay, guys, thanks for filling in. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Hey,
okay.
Good time.
Try not to tank your ratings too badly next time, Mike.
We'll see in 3 weeks. Yeah. Either way, we'll see you tomorrow at 2 p.m. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.